Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your word. We pray that as we journey in this coming year through the story, that we will get to know you better and better, that you will draw us closer to you and one another, and that our lives might reflect your goodness and gospel to the world. Bless us this day as we begin a clearer understanding of who you are and who we are to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. The challenge of the story is that we want to preach on the chapter of the book, which covers multiple chapters in the scripture, but what we read on Sunday morning is just a brief snippet. And so it's harder for us to point directly to texts that you've not yet heard. And so, again, strongly want to encourage you to be reading that chapter before you come to church on Sunday. If you've not yet read the first chapter of the story, which covers the first part of Genesis, then I want to encourage you to grab that as you go out today from the narthex and read that chapter today and then the second chapter before you come to church next Sunday. It's a book that tells us the most compelling story of all time. It's a book that God uses to reveal himself to us and to give us a better understanding of who he created us to be. In it, God speaks. In it, we see a God who acts and who listens and who loves us. And as we discover that more and more, we begin to realize what a blessing it can be to us to have the voice of God active and guiding us in our lives, to encourage us when we're feeling low, to join us with others as we live our life together as the people of God and as the creators, those created by God. God still speaks. God is still active. God is still involved in our life and in our world. If it were not so, it would be so depressing. I got to tell you, it's been a couple of depressing days for me. I didn't like the way this year started with mass murders and bombs. I thought that was kind of a lousy way to start. But the reality is the circumstances in our lives go up and down all the time. And the reality is, a part of what Genesis is trying to address is the reality of the world in which we live and what God is doing, has done, is doing, and will do in our world. And as we recognize that, we are a people of hope. And our fears can be overcome by his love, his goodness, his power in our lives. Now, this is an interesting picture I came across on the internet. It is seeking to represent God sort of measuring out the world. Now, I don't know that God needed tools to do that, but the image said to me God was intentional. God was careful. God knew what he was doing when he created the world. The world, and in fact we, are not an accident, but are the intentional movement of God. The story of creation reveals a beautiful world. Most of you know I'm a scuba diver. And so one of my favorite jokes as a scuba diver is that I have to get in all the diving I can now because Revelation says the seas will be no more. So I got to get it in, you know, before I go into the next level of eternity. Now, quite honestly, when Revelation says that, it's not really talking about seas. What Revelation is talking about is chaos, which the seas represent. And as we look at the creation story, one of the things that we're seeing is God introducing order to chaos. Now, this is not an image I've seen before, but the idea that God separates the waters above from the waters below, and that a part of the creation is to separate the water from the land. He goes on to create the living creatures that live in the water and in the land. And I know some of you are jealous right now because I've seen more of the creatures living in the water than you have. But, you know, scuba diving lessons are available. So, you know, you're welcome to join me. I say that because not only does creation teach us that God is in charge and was intentional and that he put things in order, but Genesis also teaches us that when God created humanity, we are special. Now, a lot of times when you think about that, you think of the idea that the Bible teaches that we are created in the image of God. Amen? Sometimes we're still trying to figure out what does that actually look like, because our only view is after sin. And so we don't know what the perfect creation really looks like, because we only see the creation after the fall. But there's another part of the story of God creating us in his image that's quite intriguing. And that is that he tells man, have dominion over the birds and the creatures and this world in which we created. God not only created us in his image, after he created us in his image, he made us partners in dealing with the world he created. He gave us a role to play. Dominion isn't domineering. Dominion is care for, keeping things in that order that God created so that the whole world would flourish, which is a part of this story as well. You know, flourish, fill the world. And it's an incredible world. 2 years ago, we had the opportunity, Marilyn and I, to go see for the first time, for me, the wildlife in African safari. It was amazing. Hadn't seen that part of the world. And this last year, we had the privilege of going up to Alaska. Amazing. Now, I got to tell you, I didn't want to go to Alaska. Alaska was not on my bucket list, but it was on Marilyn's bucket list, and it is now on my bucket list. It was absolutely beautiful to see the mountains and the trees, the bears and the moose. This world in which we live is absolutely beautiful. Any kind of glance around, any kind of paying attention reveals an incredible beauty in God's creation. I was in the coffee shop making coffee this morning. I heard about a white hummingbird. I have never seen a white hummingbird. Constantly revealing the creativity of our God. And then this reality that God invites us to take part in that. To take part in allowing the world to flourish in its beauty and its creativity in God's intention. Dominion. A role to play. Authority. Authority that is given to us by the Creator, who has every right to that authority. He says, you're a partner with me now in this world in which we live. And as we hear about Jesus and the kingdom of God, and we recognize that we are servants of that kingdom, that we are ambassadors of that king, we realize that this strategy of God for how the world works hasn't changed. Sin didn't change that. Sin interrupted it, and now God is in the business of redeeming the world, setting the world right. And again, he looks at us and he says, you are a partner with me in redemption, in establishing and living out this kingdom authority of God. This dominion, this authority is still ours, and it's really important that we begin to recognize it as we hear God's voice, as we listen to understand God's word, but not only to understand it, but then to live it out, to experience the voice of God showing us what he would have us do as his servants in the world. But even in the beginning, even in that creation, a part of that order was this idea of choice. Now, it's kind of interesting when you think about what God did for Adam and Eve in the garden. This tree, this forbidden fruit. And I'm thinking to myself, gosh, this wasn't really fair. I mean, think about how big the garden was, how many different kinds of trees were there that God provided for food. But the bad one, good and bad, the bad, there's only one of those. And all the rest was available. And yet, rather than obedience, rather than celebrating all the goodness that was surrounding them, we fell into sin with the fall. And the fall brought with it a curse and a damage to creation. And as I said before, it's really hard for us to know. What would this world be like without sin and brokenness, without death, without that curse? No idea. And quite honestly, I think the point of the creation story is to tell us this is the reality in which we live. This is the conflict. This good and evil conflict, this will we do things our own way or will we be obedient to God who is the one who has the authority to determine what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad. And it's not just the story of Adam and Eve. As we continue to read through those early chapters in Genesis, we realize that over and over and over, there's evil, there's brokenness. There's death, even in families. Some of you can relate. And so we live in the reality of brokenness. We live in the reality of people choosing to drive their trucks through people, of putting bombs in vehicles. We live with the reality of evil and sin and destruction in our world. And I'll be honest with you, often as I think about those things, especially if I dwell on them, they are overwhelming. And most of the time, what I think is there's nothing I can do about it. I don't live in New Orleans. I didn't know this guy. I didn't meet him. There's nothing I can do about it. And that often leads me to a place of inactivity. It leads me to a place of insecurity. If I'm really honest, it leads me to a place of, well, since there's nothing I can do about that, I might as well just take care of me and do what I want to do. The very sin that led us into this in the beginning. And so this is my hope as we read through the story this year here at St. Timothy's. My hope is that you will see in it God's calling in your life, God's authorizing in your life, the partnership that God would want you to play in his world. Because I believe that a part of establishing his kingdom in the world is going to happen through you and I. And so we need to listen and we need to hear and we need to be prepared to respond in God's way rather than in their way. Now, the story of the flood, that sort of is at the end of the chapter of chapter 1, it's kind of confusing. Because really what you see in the flood is the reversal of the act of creation. Instead of the waters now being separated and each having its place, it comes together. The water rises up and the water comes down out of the sky. It's hard to miss when you look at those stories together that God is like kind of going back on his order. And yet it is a clear reminder to us, if we haven't already picked it up in the lives of the people in those early chapters of Genesis, that when we decide to live outside of God's order, outside of God's guidance, destruction comes. Chaos reigns in our lives and in our world. And so there's places in the text where it seems to suggest that God is going to wipe out all breathing life. But does he? He still preserves some animals. He still preserves some people. He's still going to continue on in this journey of redemption using the people he created. And by the way, as it turns out, Noah and his sons weren't that much better than anybody else. Nor are we. But God chooses us. This is the way God desires the world to work. And he reveals that we as his people, we as his creation, we having been created in his image, have a role to play in it. And so we choose order, obedience, submission, or chaos and death and destruction. And we choose it not only for ourselves, but as we make those choices, we have an impact on the world around us, for good or for ill. And so as you encounter God in the story, as you encounter yourself and our world in the reading of the scripture using the story, look for what God has for you. The story makes this insistent claim that a loving God has sought you and provided a way for your redemption and for the redemption of the world, a way for you to live in relationship with him in the fullness and abundance of life that he's created us for. And will we continue to struggle with the good and evil in our world? Absolutely, we will. I still remember echoing in my mind the words of my son. I think he was like a sophomore in high school. And I was not happy with the decision of his coach to bench him. I was a little irritated. My son saw that. And he said to me, "Dad, I've learned that no matter what the situation is, we have a choice. We can make it better or we can make it worse." And this 16-year-old smart aleck little boy said, "Dad, why would we ever choose to make it worse?" Meaning, rein yourself in, pops. We always can choose to contribute to the betterment, to the good, to the love, to the grace of God at work in our world. And in fact, we're called and empowered and gifted by God to do that very thing. Submission is not easy. Living as a representative, as a child of God, rather than living on our own terms can be a hard choice to make, but it is a choice of order or chaos. I hope our journey together through these stories will encourage us to listen and to listen with the intention of playing the part that God has for us in his ongoing work in the creation and recreation of this beautiful world in which we live. Thanks be to God. Amen.